Today's scripture comes from Hebrews 2. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Hebrews 2, verses 14 through 18.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. When I saw the snow this morning, I didn't know if anyone would be here or not. I didn't know if I could get here or not. I'm new to Prague. I didn't know if the buses would run, if the trams would run, but we're here, and that's great. And I'm glad we're here, and I'm glad that we can study the scriptures together today. I love this passage out of Hebrews. It is such an important thing for us to understand what Jesus has done for us. And the writer of Hebrews gets into some details that are really important for us, because he tells us that Jesus became fully human, that there was a purpose in that, and it was for us. The writer tells us it wasn't for the angels that he did that. It was for Abraham's descendants. It was for us that Jesus came and became fully human in every detail of life. God coming into this world to become fully human. Now, when we think about Jesus, we often think about the big things. We think about his miracles. We think about feeding the 5,000, walking on the water, raising Lazarus from the dead. Of course, we remember his death and his resurrection, the atonement for all of our sins. All of that is major stuff. But sometimes we need to remember that there were some other things. That Jesus had to eat. That Jesus got tired. That Jesus would sweat when it was hot. That he had to bathe, or else he would have body odor. That Jesus had to use the WC. He was normal, like us, in every way. And at the same time, he was God's presence in this world. He was the incarnation of God. Now, what that means is that Jesus has entered into the ordinary. And in his death and resurrection, he redeems the world. It's a fallen world. We still live with the sins of the world, but we live in a state of redemption because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. He makes a way for the Holy Spirit to come into this world, which we see in Acts chapter 2. And as the Holy Spirit comes into this world, the way Jesus came into the world, fully human, God is in everything in life. That doesn't mean everything is God, but it means God is in everything. In everything we do, everything we experience, the joys and the suffering of life, Jesus has entered into those things. God's presence is in a supernatural way in everything in our life. And so the Christian walk, the Christian journey, becomes the exploration of where God is in everything, in all the things that we do. Every day of our life, we get to experience the ongoing presence of God, God's gifts to us in everything in life. The work of faith was never meant to be an add-on. Sometimes we treat our faith, our religion, as if it's an add-on to our normal life. We have jobs, we have school, we have errands to run, we have household chores, have children to raise, all the things of life. And there's joy and there's suffering in all of that. There's good days and there's bad days in all of that. And then, in addition to that, we put our faith in God. as an add-on sometimes. In other words, how much do you think about God when it's not Sunday? When you're not here? The Christian life was never meant to be an add-on to our life. Something additional to do. It was always intended to be a continuous journey of experiencing God in everything that happens, in everything that we do. Jesus made that possible because he came to be fully human and to embrace everything in this life that we experience, bringing the Holy Spirit into all the life, everything in life. And yet, he wasn't just human. We saw in the earlier reading today how there was just an ordinary thing going on. The dedication in the temple, that was just the ordinary sacrifices, the rituals that they do. And yet, Simeon, Anna, they could look at Jesus and know God's presence. He was fully human, but he wasn't just ordinary. They could look at him as a child and know that God's presence was with him, that they had seen the presence of God. And they glorified God, they praised God for the presence of Jesus with them, that he wasn't just an ordinary kid, that he was the very presence of God. And yet he fully, completely, in every detail, enters into this life so that God's presence is with us here in everything. He makes that connection so that we can go through ordinary life, do ordinary things, go through the stuff of life, and have God's presence with us at every single moment in all that we do. That God is not some separate entity that we go find, or our faith is not a set of rituals that we go through, or just a set of doctrines or beliefs, or a set of rules that we follow. As I've said before, in the last few weeks, being a person of faith will bring about character and integrity, that we do follow rituals and traditions in our church as part of our worship. But it's not about that. Those are things that we do because of our faith. That our faith is not just a set of rules, not just a set of rituals that we add on to our week. It is the journey of God's presence in everything that we do. Now, if we want to understand that, and we try to do that as a mathematical formula, it won't work. And this is where we struggle with this. This is a supernatural process that is a gift from God. And if we try to add that up as if it were a mathematical formula, it won't work. If we try to just kind of figure out how is God's presence in my job as an accountant, or as a bookkeeper, or as a computer operator, or as a tram operator. If I have my job and I think, how is God in that? And I try to reason that out, it won't work. If I try to think, how is God reasonably, how is God, as if it's a mathematical formula, how is God in me cooking dinner or going to the market? It won't work as a reasoned, figured out process as if it were a scientific formula, because it is a supernatural gift that God gives to us. God enters every single thing in life in the presence of the Holy Spirit because Jesus has fully entered it. And so it's not a matter of reasoning, it's a matter of discovering. It's a matter of allowing the Holy Spirit to emerge, of asking for God to show us, asking God to show us his presence in everything that we do, every day. That our journey is one of discovering God's presence in all the things of life and exploring how that works in the supernatural presence of God. If we just treat God as an add-on, if we just treat God as if something, an obligation on Sunday or an obligation to follow a set of rules, we'll miss the supernatural presence of God in all the things of our life. That's the true gift that Christ has given us. The true gift is that he became fully human. He was tempted in every way we're tempted. He struggled in the physical ways that we struggle, and yet he overcame those things so he can walk through that with us. And the Holy Spirit is in all the things that we do. God's supernatural gift to us is to be with us, not just to send us out into the world and say, good luck, not to send us out in the world and say, be good, but to send us out in the world and say, I'm with you. In everything that happens, I'm with you. In every moment. If it's a triumph and glory and excitement, God is there celebrating with us. And if we're suffering and we're hurting and we're grieving, God's been there. He has suffered, even death on the cross. Wherever we are in that journey, we can find God because he has, in a supernatural way, become fully human, brought his presence so that everything in life becomes the discovery of God in our life. That's what he's given us. It becomes really sad then that some people see religion just as an add-on, just as something we do, just as an empty ritual or a set of rules. What we need as the people of God is the presence of God in every day, in all the things that we do, to search for it, to look for it, to know that it is there. And if we don't quite understand it yet, that's part of the discovery, to keep trying to find it, to keep looking for it, and to see God emerge in the suffering, to see God emerge in the grief, to see God emerge in the ordinary, routine, boring things of life, to see God emerge in the triumphs and the happiness, to see God emerge in our relationships, in marriage, in friendships, in family, to see God emerge in all the things of life, because God has done this on purpose for us. He didn't do this for the angels. He came to be human so that we could experience God. He kept his connection with the Father so much that even as a child, they could see it on him. And when we are connected with Jesus in every single thing that we do, we are connected spiritually in a supernatural way with God. And we experience that in all kinds of ways. And one of the most profound ways that we experience it as the church is through Holy Communion. And this is a perfect example of what we're talking about and what the writer of Hebrews is talking about when he says that Jesus became fully human for our sake, of entering into the ordinary things of life in a supernatural way. As we receive Holy Communion, we take a pinch of bread and we dip it into a cup and we eat the bread. And that bread is completely ordinary bread. I bought it at the market this morning as I was walking here through the snow. It was not bread that was baked at a monastery in a mountain, carried down on a cloth that had been consecrated. None of that. It was bread they had at the Tesco. Completely ordinary. They have juice. Just plain old juice. Nothing special about it. The only reason I bought it was because it was cheap. I didn't even buy the good stuff. It's completely ordinary. There's nothing special about it. And yet, as we pray, I will pray in a few moments a prayer we call a consecration. It's a traditional prayer in the Methodist Church, asking for God's Holy Spirit to be on these elements. And we believe that God answers that prayer. And that this bread, on a spiritual level, changes. Not on a physical level, but on a spiritual level, it changes and becomes the body of Christ. And the juice, on a spiritual level, becomes the blood of Christ. Because Jesus said, as he broke the bread, "This is my body that is broken for you. As he gave him the cup, he said, this is my blood that is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus enters the ordinary. Plain bread, plain juice that never changes physically and yet spiritually is transformed by the very presence of Jesus himself, becoming his body and his blood on a spiritual level. Now, if we decide to ignore that spiritual element and we take a pinch of bread and we dip it in a cup and we eat it and we go about our business, then we've just received bread and juice and just a little tiny bit of it. And it will mean almost nothing. But if our spirit understands that God's presence in these elements, that Jesus ordained this process, gave us this gift in a supernatural way, and said, this is my body and blood, that we are receiving a measure of God's spirit and grace with us, then it becomes something really profound. And it becomes a perfect example of what Jesus does in everything else in life. We just have ordinary lives. Sometimes we're successful, sometimes we fail. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're sad. Sometimes we're both at the exact same time, because that's the nature of human life. That's the nature of human experience. And most of it is not the extreme of happiness or the extreme of grief. We experience those. But most of it is just going to be absolutely ordinary, routine, going through the day. And if we want to approach it that way, then life can be that. It can be ordinary. It can be routine. It can be some highs and some lows along the way, but mostly just life. Or we can begin to see that Jesus became fully human in order to be present in all the things of life, the highs, the lows, even the ordinary. And our life as Christians is to discover God in all of that. Some people very often say, you know, I don't always feel comfortable talking about my faith. I don't always know how to witness to people. I don't always know how to evangelize and all of those things of life. Some people are gifted there and some people aren't. It's okay. But if you spend your life as a Christian experiencing God in the ordinary, experiencing God in the joys of life, experiencing God in the deep suffering of life, if you spend your life, your journey, in a life of discovery of what God has supernaturally given us, his presence in everything, that your faith is not just an add-on, a thing you do on Sunday, but it is a constant discovery of God's presence in all the things of life, people are going to see Jesus. It's going to be recognizable. Just as Simeon, just as Anna recognized God's presence with them, people are going to see the presence of God. You don't have to know what to say. You don't have to go out and try to say the right things to people to get them to become Christian. Let them see Jesus as you discover Jesus in everything in life. And we can start now, practicing to experience the presence of God in the ordinary as we are invited to this table, as we receive the bread and the cup, which is just bread and just juice, but it is the presence of Jesus himself. May we receive it this morning. Would you pray with me? Our Lord, we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.